Hello, beloved, and welcome to this Bible study in our series on spiritual warfare. And we are still busy with the armor of God, and we're going to look at the helmet of salvation, specifically Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, where we read, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." But we're going to focus in on just this first part of verse 17, where it says, "And take the helmet of salvation." The helmet of salvation. Absolutely amazing. We're going to look at that in our study this morning. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we continue. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And thank you, Father, that we can be involved in this battle and this warfare. But thank you that we are conquerors through Christ Jesus who already won the victory, so that we may have life in him and life more abundantly, and we can be victorious in Christ, for greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Father, I thank you so much that we can study your word. Open up this specific part of the armor to us, please, so that we can understand it and we can use it in our lives. Father, this I pray in Jesus' name, and enable me as your servant to teach your people. This I pray in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Okay. So just again, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17, where it says, "And take the helmet of salvation." Now the Apostle Paul gave us a breakdown. Well, not us, but the Ephesians, he gave them a breakdown, and obviously for us as well, of what the armor of a believer looks like. You know, and especially as they need to stand firm without being tripped or shaken or thrown down to the ground. Okay, we need to stand firm. Now, the first thing that he was speaking about is the fact that we need to have the waist girded with truth. Second, we need to have on the breastplate of righteousness, and then our feet shod with the readiness to preach the gospel. And then fourth, taking up the shield of faith, with which we are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And then the fifth one we're going to look at now, and that is taking on the helmet of salvation. Now this fifth piece of the armor is the piece that is that kind of piece that guards the mind of a believer. You know, just like the breastplate protects the vital organs of our body, you know, such as our heart. Here the helmet is intended to protect the mind of the believer. Now the Apostle Paul is addressing believers here. You must remember, they are saved already. So he's not saying get saved. He says that we need to have the helmet of salvation on. That means there is going to be an attack by the devil on our salvation. He's going to tempt us to kind of move away or to shun our salvation, or he's going to try to confuse our salvation. There's going to be a spiritual attack on our salvation, or he's going to bring doubt or discouragement. Now, it's important to note that, you know, that Satan, when it comes to this specific part of the armor, that he spreads doubt. But it can't actually change the reality of our salvation. Because as believers, the security of our salvation is untouchable. Because the security of our salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is secure in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father now. And our salvation is secure in him. Our salvation is in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the one that's going to make sure that we enter into heaven. Our salvation is firmly rooted in him, in the person of Jesus Christ. But when it comes to assurance, that is more of a feeling that we have. And we can have a feeling. Yeah, today I feel kind of assured of my salvation. And tomorrow I can feel, I don't feel as assured of my salvation as I felt yesterday. But when it comes to the security of my salvation, we need to remember how security of our salvation is firmly seated in Christ. But the feeling of whether I am secure or whether I am assured of my salvation, whether I'm sure that I'm saved, that's more of a dicey thing. Because in a sense, it's got to do with the spiritual disciplines that I apply in my life. You know, if I, I've noticed it in my own life. If I live close to the Lord, if I am disciplined in studying the Bible, disciplined in prayer, disciplined in doing what God wants me to do, as Christ instructs me to do, if I'm actively fighting sin in my life, when I seek the Lord, when I desire to glorify Him in everything that I do, when I live like this, you know, then I kind of feel secure. I feel assured of my salvation. There is this boldness that is in me. It's the same thing when I go and preach. If I really prepared well, I've been in prayer with the Lord, seeking His face and so on. When I get behind that pulpit, it's not as if I'm arrogant and I think, wow, today I'm going to do this. No, there's just this boldness because I've really spent time with the Lord in this. But there are times when things happen and you can't spend as much time, and then you feel insecure in a sense. And salvation is a lot the same. If I walk with the Lord, then I feel assured of my salvation. When I don't walk as close to the Lord as I normally do, then I don't feel as assured of my salvation. But remember this, beloved, our security of our salvation is in Christ, because Christ is the one who said the work that He starts, He will finish. He brought us to the point of regeneration. It was the Holy Spirit who regenerated us. It is God who will make sure that we end off in heaven. That's His promise, right? Christ will raise us up. John 6 says it so beautifully. He will raise us up in the last day. That's His promise. So our salvation is secure in Him. It's promised that He has full control of it. Okay, nobody can take control from Christ. Okay. So when I neglect my walk with the Lord and my talk with the Lord and my studying of His word and so on, if I'm disobedient to Him, then, and if everything just revolves around myself and my needs and my family and my pleasures, then I normally struggle with assurance of salvation, all right? And it's during those times that I doubt it the most whether or not I'm going to heaven or not. And you would say, wow, but aren't you a pastor? Aren't you supposed to have assurance of salvation? Yes, I do have. But there are days that I doubt. And those are the days when I didn't spend as much time with the Lord. Okay, but I know my salvation is secure in Christ. Okay, but I need to actively live the disciplines. Now, I actively need to do the disciplines, the spiritual disciplines in my life. I need to actively be involved in doing them. Now, it's interesting that trials and tribulations and hard times also tend to move us closer to the Lord. Now, it's as if those are the days, the times that we kind of get closer to Him because we want to find out what's happening now, Lord, and we want our strength and our ability to go through this tough time. We want it from Him. And it's interesting that it's also during these times of trials and tribulations and suffering that we tend to feel less unsaved, if I can use it like that. It's as if I feel more saved, especially if I spend more time with the Lord. But when I go through the trial and I'm not spending time with the Lord, wow, those are times that I really feel insecure in my salvation. But the thing is that good times, it definitely has the tendency to kind of take our focus away from the Lord. And when our focus shifts, then we normally struggle with our assurance of salvation. It was John who wrote in a letter, John the Apostle, 1 John chapter 12, he says, and I quote, he says, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Verse 13, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So John wrote in this letter so that the believers may know that they have eternal life, that they may know that they have salvation. John wanted these readers to have assurance of salvation. He wrote it down that those who believe in the Son of God, they can know that they have salvation. Why? It is written. So I can always go back to that passage of Scripture and say, there it is, it's written. I can have assurance of salvation. You see, John wanted believers to have assurance of salvation. But Satan wants believers to doubt their salvation. Because when they doubt their salvation, they normally unproductive in their walk with the Lord. They're unproductive in being active in the kingdom of God. They're unproductive in spreading the gospel. Beloved, the spiritual battle that rages in our minds, especially the minds of believers now, are mostly focused on salvation. That is why we need to have our salvation sorted out in our minds. And the battle starts with the question, am I truly saved? Is what I believe enough to, and is it sufficient enough to allow me entrance into the kingdom of God? The problem is there are unfortunately many professing believers today who are not saved. They might be religious, but they're not saved. Remember that was the Apostle Paul who told the Corinthian believers in 2 Corinthians 11 that there is such a thing as another gospel, another Jesus, and another spirit. And it is another gospel. And if there is such a thing as another gospel, and he says there is, then that gospel, nah, and it's not the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, then that gospel cannot save. Because the gospel, Paul says, is the power of God unto salvation. If there is another Jesus than the one that was born from a virgin and lived a sinful life, that died and rose again from the grave and ascended into heaven, if there is another Jesus that's not that Jesus, then that other Jesus cannot save. It must be Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, who died for our sins, was buried, rose again. And if there's another spirit, and when Paul speaks about it, then the Holy Spirit that we receive, then people cannot be saved because it's the Holy Spirit who regenerates us. If Satan can get sinners to believe in another Jesus and in another, how can I say, accept another gospel and to receive and open themselves up to another spirit, if Satan can do that, then sinners are in bondage. There is nothing more dangerous in the church than someone who believes they are saved, but they are not. It is these people that actually attack the church from within. It's hard to come from the outside and attack the church. Very easy to get into the church from inside and attack the church because people will be open. But if somebody comes in from the outside, the believers will quickly get together and they will block the attack. But when another Jesus and another gospel and another spirit is introduced into the church over a period of time, and the church starts grabbing onto it, and people start accepting this other Jesus and gospel and this other spirit, and they become members of the church and they're unsaved, what will happen is as they infiltrate the church and more these people are part of the church will lose its power. More people will not be saved. That's dangerous for the church. And then it means that another gospel and another Jesus and another spirit will be proclaimed within that church. You see, beloved, spiritual warfare is all about truth. It's all about God's truth. It's all about the Word. And it's the Word that triumphs over everything. When enough members in a local congregation embrace another Jesus and another gospel and another spirit, that local congregation will open up to all kinds of heresies, all kinds of false things. They will also open up to disunity and factionalism and all these kind of things that we find within the Corinthian church. Therefore, we need to have our heads, covered with the helmet of salvation. We need to be sure of the doctrines of grace. We need to be sure of the doctrines of justification, illumination, and regeneration, sanctification, of glorification, all these fancy words. But we need to be sure that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. There should be no doubt in our minds that we are truly saved. And if we do doubt, we need to make sure. We need to study God's word and make sure that we are saved. Remember, our salvation is secure in the person of Jesus Christ. It's untouchable. But when it comes to being sure of our salvation, in the sense of to know that I'm saved, that feeling, that's something that can go away if I don't live close to Christ. When we have faith in Jesus Christ, now the Jesus of the Bible, okay, and if we embrace the gospel of the scriptures, and if we receive the Holy Spirit as a gift of salvation, the third person of the Trinity, then we can be sure of our salvation, because our salvation is secure in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Any attack by the devil to try to get us to doubt our salvation will be destroyed, will be nullified, if we know what Scripture teaches us about salvation. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 and 13, that we will know that we have eternal life. Beloved, we need to make sure that we understand that Scripture teaches, and Scripture alone teaches us, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith in Christ Jesus alone, and that to the glory of God alone. We need to know that. We need to make sure of that, so that at the end of the day, when we have the helmet of salvation on, our salvation will not be shaken, so that we can stand firm and we can be active in the kingdom of God. Right, that's the helmet of salvation. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' name, and thank you for the fact that we can have the helmet of salvation on our heads that protects us from any doubt that we might have that is cast in our direction, that is thrown our way, where Satan tries to tempt us to doubt our salvation. Thank you that our salvation is secure in Christ. Father, may we study the word, and may you enable us, please, to understand what salvation is all about, so that we can make it secure and firm in us, and we know that our security lies in Christ. Please, Father, help us to enable us to have that helmet of salvation on our heads all the time to protect our minds. This we pray, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Beloved, thank you very much for listening. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace. And remember, the helmet of salvation is to know that you are saved, to know that your salvation is firm and secure in the person of Jesus Christ. God willing, until next time, bye-bye.